For life.
Hey, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is I, the Microphone Messiah, and I am joined by the Agent of Chaos, Miss Poison Scarlet. Katie, how you doing tonight?
Doing great. Thanks. How you doing, Phil?
I'm all right. This is the first time in BC history that's just been you and I
doing
together.
Brandon is absent, doing what he does best, cheering on the A's while working for him.
Absolutely. All right. Before we get started talking about, you know, Raw, SmackDown, and everything like that, it's been announced today. AlphaZoe defends the BullaCast title against Loverboy Leo in a pure rules match at Collectible Stampede Parking Lot Brawl on July 23rd. So next month, AlphaZoe, he was successful in his first defense against Victor Von Richter and Dave Wasted. So we're finally going to get to see Loverboy Leo and AlphaZoe in a contest together, and I'm excited.
Oh, so am I. I can't wait to see just how vicious the two can be. Having the pure rules, absolutely great idea.
No, absolutely. You know, I know they can go. So I want to see them really just like wrestle each other. I want to see how that's going to turn out.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Absolutely. Moving on from that, SmackDown recap. The Bloodline saga continues. Jey Uso still hasn't made his decision. Paul Heyman talked to him throughout the night. Sami Zayn even talked to him. So he's putting a United States title match against Austin Theory. Pretty Deadly comes out. Jimmy Uso gets involved. Solo Sikoa gets involved. All in all, Jey Uso loses. Austin Theory still the champ. And basically, the synopsis of it all is Jey Uso said he'll stay in the Bloodline if Paul Heyman is out. So, I guess we'll officially get an answer from Jay come Friday once Roman Reigns has returned. A lot to unpack here. A lot to unpack. Katie, what are your thoughts?
I feel like every time I watch a Bloodline segment, my degree in psychology just comes rushing forward because this is a biopic in epic standards, in my opinion. Jay not making the decision and, you know, prolonging it so that it's done over multiple shows is a great plan. The whole idea that, you know, oh, he'll stay in the Bloodline if Paul Heyman is out. Excellent way to create even more tension within the Bloodline, considering that Heyman has been the wise man since Roman took the championships and became the, you know, undisputed heavyweight champion.
It
just continues to get better and better. And honestly, I feel like I tune into WWE specifically for that now.
I mean, a lot has happened. I mean, you know, Roman Reigns just surpassed the 434-day mark with the WWE title. So he's passed Punk's run. So now he has the longest run with the WWE title of this era. Yeah, man, you can't get rid of Paul Heyman. I mean, he's been at the side of the guys who have held heavyweight titles the longest time in the modern era. Punk, then Lesnar, now Roman Reigns. I mean, Paul, over 40 years of service to the family. I mean,
right. Like, how do you get rid of Paul?
Wise man's not going nowhere. Roman, I keep telling you, man. Look, call me up, bruh. I will be there. I will get on a flight, whatever I got to do. I will go by cruise, by ship, whatever. Whatever we got to do. I'm there.
But let's think about this for a second. Let's say Roman does cast out Paul Heyman. What do you think will happen? Do you think we could see him try to latch on to Seth Rollins since he's the new WWE heavyweight champion?
I don't know, because they kind of did that already when Roman was feuding with Brock. You know, so I don't know if they would even go back to that. The idea is we think we're going to get the Usos versus Solo and Roman possibly at Money in the Bank or somewhere down the line. Roman returns.
That's what I'm hoping for,
yeah.
But
I mean, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe something will happen at the house show that's happening Saturday, because it's advertised that Roman's defending the title against Rey Mysterio. So that's interesting. Hey man, he defends it off TV too, people. Tired of all your whining. Tired of all your complaints.
Always working. Always working. He bringing in the money.
Exactly. The gate went up when they found out Roman was going to be there.
Oh yeah. Everyone wants to see Roman Reigns.
Absolutely. But this is interesting. I mean, I know that there was that a photo floating around, a custom made match graphic, Jimmy versus Roman, winner gets custody of Jay. Kind of play on Eddie and Ray and Dominic from back in the day. So I don't know, man. You could do Ray or Jay versus Roman. You could do J or no, you sorry, Jimmy versus Roman. Jay is a special guest referee. But it's interesting. The saga continues. Solo, he's we already know he's decided that he will stick with the tribal chief. And I don't know. Could there have been more? Could they have done more with this? Because I heard on Cheap Heat they said that have Paul really just kind of try to play Jay, like have him be like, no, he wants you to be the tribal chief. He's gearing you up for it. And then Jay walks out of the frame and he's like, call Roman Reigns. Yes, my tribal chief. He's buying it. Like something like that.
I think they could have done a little bit more. I'm wondering if this particular segment of this storyline for the Bloodline is being rushed a little bit, so that they can get this match set up at Money in the Bank, in all honesty, or they had to pivot for some reason and they're trying to figure out everything for SummerSlam.
No, we don't even know what SummerSlam's even going to look like. That's
no, we don't. We have no idea.
The only pay-per-view in July is Money in the Bank, and it's the first day of the month, so that's
yep.
It's interesting. I say we probably get the tag match, and then could lead to a big singles match with either Jimmy or Jay taking on Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
That happening. Asuka was presented with a new women's championship. She is now known as the WWE Women's Champion.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, she gets basically the same title Roman got, just with a white strap. I know people are complaining, it's the same thing. Guys, look, it's about making money at the end of the day. If Asuka goes and does, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, oh, she's the WWE Women's Champion. Let's be honest, like the old woman's title, like the one from like the Attitude Era and Ruthless Aggression Era, you didn't really, like, if you watched, you knew it was a WWE championship. I mean, yes. It had like the little scratch logo at the top. People complain about the big logos on these titles. Like UFC does it, boxing does it. It's to let
it's
you
branding.
Know. Yeah, it's to let you know what
it's
company.
Branding. It's a branding mechanism. Like,
and
anyone who has a basic idea of how to do marketing knows exactly what they're doing.
Exactly.
Branding.
Why do you think there's a big-ass Bulletcast logo on our title? It's to let you know where it's coming from. She gets another one. And earlier on, Bianca Belair was having a meeting with Adam Pearce.
Yep.
And, she kept saying, like, she wants her rematch. And Pearce is like, why I can't have you attack Asuka? This is a big presentation. So hopefully, Bianca can change up the character a little bit, have a little bit more attitude. And a heel turn for Bianca would be great. I mean, I could see a heel Bianca, like, she was champion for so long. So, like, a year from now, the WWE Women's Champion.
I could see them start to plant little seeds of her turning heel. I think that could be something that would be an interesting play. But I would love to see Bianca as a heel. I know that in her NXT days, she did have a run as a heel, but I don't know if they're going to try to recreate that or if they're going to go for something completely new. All I know is I'm excited for it.
Well, yeah, I mean, those were the early days of Bianca. I mean, she didn't come from the indies. She literally learned how to do this in the Performance Center, the legit definition of a homegrown talent. I mean, she's been in the game for a little bit, so I'm sure if she were to have a heel run, she would do things differently.
Yeah, definitely. But going back to Asuka and the title, I mean, honestly, I love it. I think that that's a gorgeous title. And I know that if I was pro wrestling and I happened to be on, you know, on the main roster right now, and I was the WWE Women's Champion, I would be honored to hold that belt. It is gorgeous.
Absolutely. Charlotte Flair returned.
And yes!
She said, Brian, we needed you here for this one. I mean, we know how much you love Charlotte. You know, she says she's ready for another championship. And so in not Friday, but next week, it will be Asuka versus Charlotte for the WWE Women's Championship, Asuka's first defense of it. If Charlotte wins, she will be a 15-time world champion.
That's insane. Also, can we talk about the fact that Adam Pearce tried to tell her, you know, you can't just skip to the front of the line. And she was like,
I am the line.
Excuse me? I am the line. What?
Oh, my God.
Oh, excellent. Loved that.
Yes. I mean, she was what? 7-time SmackDown Women's Champ, 6-time Raw Women's Champ, and then a 1-time Divas Champ. So, yeah, she would win her 15th, which is mind-boggling. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see it. Carmelo Hayes, the NXT champion, had his SmackDown debut. He was in the audience with Trick Williams, costing Baron Corbin an opportunity to get into the Money in the Bank match. So, yeah, the storyline continues. We'll be talking about NXT next week because they got a lot going on. Seth Rollins is going to defend the world title over there next week against Braun Breaker.
I know. What, like, I'm loving the cross. I'm loving the crossplay,
yeah,
with all of the different brands coming together in some way, shape, or another. This is fun.
Now the free agency makes sense because people are just like, oh, they don't have anything for them. No, it's the, you know, people who have been on TV for quite some time, throw them down at NXT. Like Los Lotharios just had they made an appearance on NXT this week. You know, people,
yeah,
on TV for some time, have them mix it up with the talent down there to help elevate them. And mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, just leave it better. You know, that's
and
all.
Also probably draw more ratings, because if you put some of the people that have been up on the main roster down on NXT, which is technically the developmental, you get more people who watch the main roster watching NXT.
Absolutely. Scarlett blinds AJ Styles. She put the red smoke in his face. I'm down to watch Karrion Kross versus the Phenomenal One.
Oh yeah, I'm here for it. And honestly, as I've said many times before, any chance to just see Scarlett on screen, I'm happy. We had a couple other qualifier matches for Money in the Bank.
I mean, we'll talk about Money in the Bank once we get to Raw and just the whole landscape of how it looks.
Okay.
Yeah, but no, I mean, Karrion Kross, like he needs this.
He does.
He needs this desperately.
He does. He needs to have a shot to actually perform and show just how ruthless he can be. I think AJ Styles is a great opponent for that. I think that, you know, this babyface run of AJ Styles with the OC is a great way for Karrion Kross to really go and get under people's skin as a heel. We haven't had that from Karrion here.
No, I mean, he had that hot debut, like, in the segment with Drew McIntyre and Drew, you know, Drew's been gone. A hot segment with Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns, and then just it kind of had a little feud with Ray, and then just kind of nothing.
It kind of petered out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, after the draft and, you know, the Saudi show, it's a nice little reset for everybody. Going to outside the ring, the XFL loses $60 million in its first season under the Danny Garcia and Dwayne The Rock Johnson umbrella.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously the company founded by Vince in 2001. Yeah. So in 2024, the XFL looks to project $100 million in revenue, with $20 million coming from ESPN. I don't know.
Yeah, neither do I. I'll be honest, I don't watch the product.
One of their co-owners, Jerry Cardendale, expects that it could be a big cash flow by 2027. If they keep taking losses like that, no, they won't be around.
Yeah, I know. That's around. A big hit.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that they've got the money for it right now, but what do they do when they keep sinking money into a money pit?
Yeah, it'll be a never-ending black hole. The Rock, that's not the only hit he took this week. Young Rock has been canceled after 3 seasons.
Yeah.
Young Rock was the biopic of the life of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, from a young kid to an adolescent to a young adult getting into the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment. It helped put a lot of people on. I didn't finish it. I need to finish it. I'll probably just watch it from the beginning and finish the whole thing. But
you know, I enjoyed it. I never got the chance to watch it. I have not had time really for a lot of TV. You know, that could be a fun spin-off podcast if we do a review of each episode.
That could be, what do you want to talk about?
That could be.
There we go. There we go. Inside the ring, Alex Shelley finally wins the Impact World title. Alex Shelley, he was a cornerstone of Impact with Chris Sabin, the Motor City Machine Guns, one of the best tag teams out there. He defeated Steve Macklin at Impact Wrestling's, I believe it was Against All Odds. I want to say that was the show.
Mm-hmm. That was the name of the show.
He won the title, and then Chris Sabin becomes a 9-time record-breaking X Division champion. Chris Sabin, I've always been a fan of his. I loved his I was really happy when he got a world title run in Impact. So congratulations to them. Motor City Machine Guns are on top of the food chain over in Impact. You got to see them live at BTW, correct?
Yeah, I did. They are the real deal. I love seeing them. Getting the chance to witness them in person was really great. Shout out to BTW for bringing them out for a day. Yeah, no, they're great.
They are. We are going to get into the fan mail. Mr. X, the Hall of Famer.
Mr. X.
Will they introduce new titles for Collision? Andrade has said he would like for that to happen. They don't need any more championships.
No.
Hey, look, here's what you do. The TNT title only needs to be defended on TNT.
Yes.
Rampage, Collision, whatever. The international title can float between the three shows. That's fine. The world champion can float between the three shows. I don't even think Max needs to be on Rampage. He just Dynamite and Collision.
Dynamite. Just keep him on Dynamite.
Yeah. TBS champion obviously just needs to be on TBS. That title just needs to be on either a pay-per-view or Wednesday night. That is it. The woman's title obviously can float. Tag titles can float, etc. Don't merge.
But they really just need some, you know, a finite amount of championships, because it's so much.
Yeah, for people who don't like really watch, it gets confusing because you have the Ring of Honor titles showing up, and now with Forbidden Door, you got, you know, NJPW titles showing up, and it's just like, oh, what the wait, where's that title from? So it gets confusing for people who don't know.
Yeah.
Look.
I feel like Ring of Honor titles should be staying on Ring of Honor too.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, but I mean, I get Claudio, you know, he's in this whole thing with the Elite and the BCC, but, you know, the next time he defends it, have him just drop it or whatever.
Yeah.
And move on from that. Yeah, no more titles.
No more titles, I agree.
And then he also asks, is it smart to make NXT a third brand, so to speak, on somewhat equally footing with Raw and SmackDown? I think they're moving in that direction. You know, I think
they're not there yet.
No, they're not. I mean, it was always talked about being a third brand during the Black and Gold heyday, you know, the Undisputed Era and DIY and all that. And then, you know, once 2.0 happened. Oh no, it's just developmental. I'm like, well, it was always that. Like, let's not get it twisted. It's just
It's always been developmental.
It was the hottest thing going for a period of time, but it was always meant to do that. And then he also asks, there are reports that Maximum Male Models are done with Maxine now, with Alpha Academy. Mace and Mansoor are going to be repackaged. If so, will they go back to their original gimmicks or something new? You could do something new. I mean, oh my god.
Here's what I think. If they're going to repackage Mace and Mansoor, keep Mansoor with his prior babyface gimmick going there. Mace, he was Mace specifically for Retribution, and like, there's no Retribution anymore.
No, he had a character before that. He was doing commentary on Raw a few years ago, Dio Madden, and he was getting over. Like, he was getting over, and he had a confrontation with Brock, got beat up, and then that was it. And then he became Mace. So I mean, bring back Dio Madden, throw him in NXT. Mansoor,
yeah, you know,
love him. He trained out here in the Bay Area. He's from out here. Hell, throw him in. Let them be a tag team in NXT. Get rid of the whole male models gimmick, you know. And
I mean, I loved the male models gimmick. I kind of want to see a tag team match between Alpha Academy and Maximum Male Models for custody of Maxine.
That would be something.
Right.
That would be something.
That would be fun to watch.
Maxine with them, I like it.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, like
I'm wondering what the decision was behind the change, though.
I have no idea, but I think it's working.
I mean, she's great. Otis needs a gal on his arm. I feel like that just needs to be like a constant thing.
Yeah, I mean, he did the whole like Mandy Rose thing, back during the pandemic, and it's working. I like it, you know. Hopefully, this can lead them back to the tag titles, and then they are former Raw Tag Team Champions.
Yes, that would be lovely. I think they would be fun to have as tag team champions again.
Everybody's getting new titles. KO and Sammy have to be getting some too, right?
Yeah, we're about to find out. Hopefully.
Hopefully, we will see. We'll talk about Monday Night Raw. Finn Balor and Seth Rollins has been made official for Money in the Bank for the World Heavyweight Championship. Seth Rollins has great matches at Money in the Bank.
Oh, yeah.
2016, he went up against Roman Reigns, beat him for the WWE title. And then, you know, Dean Ambrose cashed in. That's the night all the Shield were champs during the same night. What else? 2019, the Universal title match with AJ Styles was very good. So, yeah, this is just what Seth does. The promo on Raw was good. You know, he says he wants the guy that beat him for the Universal title all 7 years ago. You know, he doesn't want the bitch that Finn Balor's become now. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
This is good. I like this. You know, Seth had me fired up, man.
Oh yeah. No, it was excellent. I love watching Seth cut a promo. He always brings the fire. And honestly, Finn deserves to have some time in the spotlight, I feel. He has not had that for a little bit.
No. Judgment Day has kind of it's done its job. It was to elevate people who weren't really in a great spot. Done.
Yeah. It definitely has. But what's next for Judgment Day is my question.
Well, I guess we'll have to see after Money in the Bank. Guess we will have to see after Money in the Bizank. Rhea Ripley gets a new championship. She is awarded a new Women's World title. That has been the rumor. It's the same as Seth's with a white strap. White straps on these championships look very nice.
Oh, yeah.
The Bullet Cast title.
They're pretty.
The Bullet Cast title might have to get a white strap. I'm going to say it right now. These things are beautiful. Dominic comes out.
Bullet Cast Women's Championship.
Oh, and we never know. You never know. You never know. Oh, yeah. Dominic comes out there to congratulate Mommy. And then we get a little promo segment with Cody and Dom and Mommy. Miz attacks Cody. Then Dom clobbers him on the back of the head. Cody goes on to defeat The Miz. So at Money in the Bank, we're going to get Dominic Mysterio versus Cody Rhodes. I'm here for it. It's different. I like it.
I think that.
And you know what you do? You have Dominic Mysterio beat Cody Rhodes.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly. Yes. I think that they're putting a lot of faith in Dominic. And now we get to... I think they're trying to show us that he really can wrestle. And they're pitting him against Cody for that reason.
And whenever
so
Cody...
now we've got to see him.
Whenever Cody finishes this story, Dom needs to be right there like, hey, bro, I beat you. Like, that's that's exactly like... I mean, Dom's got... He's getting some wins. You know, beat AJ Styles, beat Cody Rhodes. Have Brock come out there. Or I'm sure Brock's not going to... Or just have Brock's music hit. Just do one... Like, I know it's like the, oh, but he's a dumb baby face if he does that. Like, it's a simple thing. You don't actually have Brock there. Cody's like, oh, my God, where is he? Where is he? You know? And then...
And Dom Dom uses the distraction as a win.
Absolutely. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, that's a great plan.
That is all you need to do. The men's Money in the Bank is set. Let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ricochet, LA Knight. Yeah. Shinsuke Nakamura, Santos Escobar, Butch. And Damian Priest, this is a very different Money in the Bank than we've seen in the past. Normally, you have, like, the really big stars, guys who have held world championships before. I like this. It kind of reminds me of the old Money in the Banks from, like, the when they were at WrestleMania, you know.
Yeah.
Different cast of characters, you know, people who could reach that next level. People are saying LA Knight is the obvious pick to win this.
Hey, it could go to Damian Priest.
If we have to really pick three people, it's either LA Knight, it's either Damian Priest, or it's Shinsuke Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people are like, oh, they're going to cash in on Seth because, you know, Roman's not losing that until God knows how long. The idea of them cashing in on Gunther is a real possibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's held the title for so long, like, after he beats Honky Tonk's run, I could see somebody cashing in on Gunther, and like Gunther goes through a war, an absolute war, and then you get like 5 or 6 more minutes out of him on the cash in, but then somebody beats him.
Yep, I could see that. I think that would be a really good way to do that.
I could see LA Knight on Monday nights with the Intercontinental Championship.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
But I also could see Damian Priest with the championship. I could see him taking the contract and just annihilating whoever he decides to cash in on.
Damian wins the briefcase. Finn loses to Seth. Finn's like, hey, let me get that briefcase. do something like that.
They could do that.
I'm excited.
That could also cause strife within the Judgment Day and lead to the faction breaking up.
These out-of-the-country pay-per-views have been fantastic. This one's looking to be something special. And then the woman's Money in the Bank is shaped up. You know, we have Becky Lynch, Zoe Stark, Zelina Vega, Bayley, Io Sky, and then TBD. I guess TBD will be announced on SmackDown.
Yep.
I'm really trying to feel like Bayley's already done it.
Yeah.
I could see Io Sky winning this.
I mean, I think it would be really cool if she won. But if I remember correctly, Money in the Bank has eluded Becky Lynch, right? Like, she's never won.
That is true. But I can see, like, Trish and Zoe, like, making sure Becky doesn't win. Like, Zoe mm-hmm. and Becky cancel each other out. I did like the visual of Zoe on the ladder watching Becky's match. I did like that from Raw. How'd you feel about the promo?
It was good. I mean, for me with the promo, like, yeah, I don't. I felt like it was a little bit rough.
Yeah, because like I don't really remember her. Watch like really cutting promos like that down in NXT. Maybe I just haven't seen enough of it. But no, I mean, Zoe Stark, she's great in the ring. Like she's very good at this. So I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's my whole thing with the promo itself, like it kind of felt lackluster. Like I think it could have delivered more, you know? Yeah.
Maybe just phrasing and timing and delivery and all of that. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn retained the Undisputed Tag titles against Imperium, consisting of Ludwig Kaiser. Look, we need to praise Samantha Irvin real quick.
Right?
We need to really.
I mean,
I love it. I love it. She's great at this. She's fantastic.
She is my ring announcer inspiration, seriously.
I grew up with the Lillian Garcia, you know, and I was like, nobody hits like Lillian used to. She's filled the void.
Mm-hmm.
She has filled the void. You know, like the way she announces Imperium is fantastic. She has like her own little flair for everybody. And I dig it. I really do. But KO and Sammy get the big win. Matt Riddle comes out there to try to get at Gunther. So it looks like we could be going for Gunther and Riddle for the IC title. Hey, put that on Money in the Bank, bro.
Right?
This card is about to be fantastic.
It's going to be, God. If they do that, totally here for it.
This card is going to be something special. Because we have the two Money in the Bank ladder matches. We have Dom and Cody. Or Seth and Finn. So it's four matches announced.
That's
so
it
far.
Right now.
So you could do like the Bloodline match, the Usos versus Roman and Solo, and throw the IC title. That's six matches.
Yep. Six matches. That gives the Money in the Bank matches time so that they can actually do some really good segments. And allows everything to have enough time to fill the, what is it, 4-hour show?
They've been really good. They've been like three and under. Like they've been hitting their mark, and it's been fun.
It has been fun. I didn't get to watch the last pay-per-view like day of. I had to watch it after, but they've been solid. All of the pay-per-views have been solid.
Flying by at a good pace. Normally you watch and like, oh damn, we got like three more matches left. Jesus. You know, just mm-hmm. They've been going. I love it. Let's go into AEW. This was a good Dynamite. Like I've said, guys, we're gonna be switching back and forth with weeks from NXT and AEW. We have an AEW week. We start off Adam Cole and MJF to a time limit draw. This was very good. This was just good. I mean, the elbow onto the table to the outside. What else happened? MJF trying to do the Eddie Guerrero, but Bryce Remsburg, the ref, didn't turn around to see Cole with it in time. And then the finished Panama Sunrise, the second rope Canadian Destroyer into the boom, the knee to the back of the head. And one, two, ding, ding, ding. Great finish. Loved it.
See, I felt a little different about the finish. I felt like they started to get a little clunky because they were trying to fill the time.
Well, I think, just like hit the boom and, you know, you're exhausted because you've been going at that rate and everything. So, you know, you're having trouble because Max isn't he's not a small man.
He's a big man.
So, you know, and Cole's smaller. So, you know, you're using, you know, that muscle and you're tired and he's been working on your arm and push him over and you finally get him over one, two. So it worked out for that. Yeah. So, I mean, if they do go to something, because I'm sure they're going to wrestle at a, they don't have a July pay-per-view. I don't know if they're doing Fight for the Fallen or Fighter Fest like they've been doing. Because now we know at Forbidden Door, Hiroshi Tanahashi is going to wrestle MJF for the AEW world title. It's just randomness that's happening.
Yeah.
MJF calling New Japan an indie fan in Japan is, that popped me. That was funny.
Man, I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, but no, the match was good. MJF and Tanahashi are going to be great. We already know that. Forbidden Doors, it's shaping up to be something. I mean, Sonata, the heavyweight champion of New Japan, is going to defend against Jungle Boy. That's just random as all hell to me.
Right? I don't quite understand that one, but okay.
I love Sonata. I watched him in Impact, you know, like 10 years ago during that run. I'm glad he finally reached the, you know, the pinnacle of New Japan, but okay, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a whole lot of big opinions on New Japan because I haven't really watched it, but
one of Katie's good friends, Sammy Guevara, returned.
Yeah.
Returned. Chris Jericho comes out there, and you know they have a little back and forth, and it leads to a Sting Jericho face off. I'm intrigued.
I am also intrigued.
Hell, throw that on Forbidden Door. Who cares?
Right? Why not?
Who cares?
Just 10 matches. Go for it.
You know, they that's what they do. That's what they like to do. That's what they like to do. But no,
this is so many matches. Oh my god.
I like it. Build it to a throw it on a collision, bro. Like, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. That'll get people watching too. Oh, yeah. I mean,
on a big episode of Collision.
Huh?
On a big episode of Collision, just throw it on.
Yeah, definitely throw it on there. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Sting, and I like Jericho. He's not like my favorite of all time, but I like Jericho. I'm here for it. I'm here for that match. Let's have it.
Let's do it.
Book it.
Wardlow retains the TNT title against Jake Hager.
I kind of saw that coming. Yeah.
So Daddy Magic and oh my god, what's the other guy's name? His tag partner from the Jericho Appreciation Society. They come out there. Brock Anderson attacks one of them. Arn pulls out the Glock and starts hitting him. Wardlow wins, and then there was a video of what's his name? Luchasaurus and Christian Cage on the screen. There's some audio technical difficulties, but eventually we could hear the video. And so on Collision, we will have Wardlow versus Luchasaurus for the TNT title. Arn Anderson was sitting on the steps and with, you know, blood spot on his head, and he'd been bludgeoned.
I mean, I don't know how I feel about Wardlow versus Luchasaurus. Like,
it's two guys who had great potential who are kind of just there.
Yeah.
I hate to say that about Wardlow. I mean, because Brandon, I'll give him his credit. You know, this is the one time I'll give him his credit. He mentioned this like back when he was feuding with MJF, like already beats him, but where does he go from there?
Exactly.
And you know, he's been TNT champion three times, and it's just,
yeah, they keep taking the title off him and then putting it back on him.
Yeah.
So here's my question. Does he find more traction in a different company?
Possibly, or I mean, I don't know. I think he's a good fit for AEW. It's like, look, the title doesn't make the man, and I think that's what they've been trying to do. You know, the man makes the title. That's how it's always been, or whoever is holding the title makes the title. That's how it should always be.
I don't know. I mean, let's be real. AEW needs to really focus in on their roster and like hone it down. There are too many people.
There are, you know, I just remember that promo Arn cut a couple weeks ago. He said there are 150 talent back there. I said,
that's too much.
Why?
Yeah, there's no reason for that.
There was that multi-man match that we're not even going to talk about. I'm just like, I don't care. Like,
no.
Yeah. And Ring of Honor's bleeding in because a lot of, like, Brian Cage's group, that's Ring of Honor. That's a Ring of Honor faction. Why are they on AEW?
Exactly. I don't know why. Why are they on AEW when they're supposed to be on Ring of Honor? It's just too much.
People crapped on WWE for not acknowledging other companies. This is where WWE having their own universe and bubble, this is where it works out. Because, like, I mean, they said this on Cheap Heat, and this is true. AEW relies on, like, your previous knowledge of, you know, what people did in Chikara and Japan and CZW and IWA Mid-South. You know, they rely on, like, you just have to know the knowledge of all these things and like people.
You have to have an idea of these regional championships these regional shows. And a lot of mainstream wrestling fans don't really have that.
Yeah. I mean, like, Katie, I mean, like, I know you're tapped in with the indies now, like you go to shows, but like you don't know the history like of Eddie Kingston and Claudio Castagnoli and why they have
heat. Nope.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll explain that later on, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't help, you know.
It doesn't. And I'm learning more every day, but you know, there's a lot of history to like cram into your head, especially if you're trying to understand where these different feuds are coming from. It's just too much. And like I said, they really need to pare down their roster because they've got so many people that they don't have enough time on any of their shows to really give everybody their time. And that's not like, how does that do anything good for the wrestler if they're not actually getting on screen?
Yeah, that, I mean, that's where Dark and Elevation are gone, so
exactly. Really, so we're not even getting that now.
Yeah. So that's a thing. Tony Storm retains against Sky Blue. I thought Sky Blue was gonna do it for a second. They had me.
Mm-hmm.
They spray painted. There we go. Sky Blue's mother, who was at ringside. Sky Blue had some spray paint.
Yeah, that was shady.
Yeah, I mean, they're the outcast. They do things like this. Saraya was not in attendance because she wouldn't dare step foot in Washington, D.C., which was the home of the first ever AEW Dynamite. Yeah.
Yeah.
Saw the little contest. Shout out Sky Blue. The Guns.
But ultimately, Storm retained.
Yes. The Guns challenged the Hardys.
Yeah. I'm here for it.
All right.
I mean, it's odd, but I'm here for it.
Oh, it was really odd. The Guns walking out to Many Men by 50 Cent.
That was something else.
I don't understand. Like, what was the purpose of them walking out to this? Like, it didn't make sense to me.
I don't know. I have no idea what they were thinking, but it was weird.
No, I mean, they could have done it if there was a reason. Like,
what reason was there?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. All right, the Hung Bucks.
Hey.
Like they were always teaming together in ROH, and it was fun. But yeah, I think they were the ROH 6-man tag champs, by the way. Yeah, but the Hung Bucks, first time in AEW, they teamed together to take on the BCC, and they get the dub, and then utter chaos erupted after.
Man, I feel like anytime you get the Hung Bucks and BCC into a ring, there's just chaos.
Yes. When they get the win with a buckshot lyric, then Eddie Kingston returned to AEW. I mean, he had quit AEW, and then he went to Ring of Honor to feud with Claudio Castagnoli. They had a match at Supercard of Honor, which, you know, Claudio won. So here's the explanation of their heat. So I guess it was in Chikara, like 11, 12 years ago. Apparently, Claudio didn't want to do the job to Kingston on the way out because he was going to WWE. Like, he was like, I'm not losing to that guy. Apparently, that's what happened. So Kingston's kind of just, you know, been bitter about that ever since. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your history lesson for that, if you didn't know. So, yeah, him showing up, big pop for me. I loved it. I love Eddie Kingston. And then Will Ospreay shows up and hits Kenny Omega with his moves, and I was just like, oh, wow. And then Excalibur trying to cram, like, oh, my – Will Ospreay will be on Rampage this Friday. I've just heard word from Tony Khan. Don't forget Saturday, Collision, CM Punk returns. You know, just trying to hit all that. Which it reminds you of like WCW, like back in the day where Shivani tried to like cram all the stuff at the end of Chaos.
Like, it was just so much. Major pop for Eddie Kingston. But like, there was just so much. My Cash brain ran out there. Yeah. My brain could not, like, it couldn't process everything. It was just so much all at once. Too much chaos. Not enough time.
You're the agent of chaos.
Yes, I am the agent of chaos. but I'm also in my hell week at work.
Gotcha, gotcha. All right, AEW Collision, let's talk about that. Let's see what we got here. Buddy Matthews versus Andrade El Idolo. That's cool. Sky Blue and Willow Nightingale versus Tony Storm and Ruby Soho. That's going to be fun. Miro versus TBA, AEW TNT Championship, Wardlow versus Luchasaurus. And the main event, Samoa Joe, the Ring of Honor Television Champion, goes up against Bullet Club Gold, which is still stupid. Jay White and Juice Robinson going up against CMFTR, the AEW World Tag Team Champions, FTR. And CM Punk is back. And it says on the notes, we'll hear from CM Punk. So Punk is going to have a live microphone yet again.
I wonder if we're going to get another pipe bomb.
Oh, I don't know.
With CM Punk, there's always a possibility.
There is always a possibility. That is this Saturday, June 17th. But you know what else is this Saturday, June 17th? Oasis Pro presents Set It Off. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't. I say this every time, but it's true.
It is going to be a knockout, drag-out fight. Yes. And if you are not there, are you really an indie wrestling fan?
Are you a wrestling fan in general if you're not there?
Yeah. Are you? Are you even living?
Yes. We return to the Gilman Brewery in Berkeley, California. They have great beer, fantastic pizza. You can see matches like Kenny K versus R1. R1 is from France. He's coming all the way from France.
Dude, this is amazing.
To wrestle the last Spinebender. Not only that, Alpha Zo, the current Bullet Cast heavyweight champion, goes up against the aerial chemist, Matt Vandergriff. Not only will you see that, you will see El Mago going up against Lucas Riley. Lucas Riley is a SoCal cat. SPS, the South Pacific Savages, Journey, Fatu, Juicy Finau, go up against the Rock and Rodeo Express, consisting of TMD and Rex Calhoun. You can see Victor Von Richter going up against Tarzan, Duran. And not only that, Rancho Camacho, who had an impressive debut against Loverboy Leo, goes up against the Samoan Werewolf, Big Oose, my dog, Jacob Fatu. You can see all that and possibly more. This Saturday, Oasis Pro presents Set It Off, Gilman Brewery. Doors are at 6, bell time is 7. I'm on the call. You don't want to miss it.
No, you don't. I have a question, actually. You said that South Pacific Savages are going to be against Rock and Rodeo Express, but Rock and Rodeo Express only have 2 people.
Yeah.
Is it just going to be Journey and
Juicy? It's just Journey and Juicy versus Rock and Rodeo Express. Jacob is going to wrestle Rancho Camacho.
There we go. My brain's not functioning, but I'm so excited for Set It Off. It's going to be great. You've got to check out Oasis. If you haven't, like I said, you're not living.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. We will recap Collision on the next episode of the BC, or might do a special recording. You don't know. You never know. Thank you guys so much. As always, be safe and stay dangerous. On the stage, and everything we do, turning the page. Nobody doesn't like us. The feeling when we move, we are excited. Elite podcasting, I know you like it. Yeah, the Bullet Cast, feel us. The Bullet Cast, feel us. The Bullet Cast, feel us. Elite podcasting, we are. The Bullet Cast now, feel us. The Bullet Cast now, feel us. Elite podcasting, no, we are. Elite podcasting.
This has been the Bullet Cast. Thank you for listening.